This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
Tzato, who is also the Mechaber of the Mesilas Yeshorim. And the Derech Hashem deals with some very fundamental issues in terms of the relationship between ourselves and the Ribbono Shel Olam, how that relationship is structured, its purpose, how we express it, and what our intention and goal has to be in that, in our Avodas Hashem. And this Perek Beis is perhaps the most important. Those who are not at the shiur this morning, I think, are going to be missing an important link in, throughout the rest of the Sefer. Hinei ha-tachlis bivirio, the Perek Beis is headed b'tachlis habrio, the purpose of creation. Hinei ha-tachlis bivirio hoyo lehitiv mituvo yisborach lezulose. Perek Beis. Of Chelik Rishon, the first Chelik Perek Beis, yeah, we're not studying that. The Sefer is divided into several Chalokim, and each Chelik is divided into Prokim, and each Perek is divided into paragraphs, into Simonim. So the purpose of creation, a topic which has occupied the minds and books of philosophers, volumes for ages and ages, Moshe Chaim Lutzato writes off in one sentence, in one phrase, Lahitiv mituvo. Being good means doing good, and the Ribbono Shel Olam, so to say, needed a kli kibul, something to receive his goodness. And so in order to express the Ribbono Shel Olam's goodness, he creates the Olam as his kli kibul, as his receptacle for his goodness. So the Tachlis HaBivriya is Lahitiv mituvo, to give of his goodness, his barach shemo lezuloso, to something other than himself. So he had to create beings other than himself in order to be mativ. But there are problems in this, and the Derech Hashem begins to analyze the problems. You will see. Vado yis barach shemo ha'amisis ha'mishuleles mikol chisachisroinis. That there is only one being who is totally perfect, and that's the Ribbono Shel Olam, which is Shleimus HaAmisis, which is true Shleimus, true perfection, Meshuleles Mikol HaChisroinus, without any imperfections at all. There is nothing else in the world that is truly perfect. Ve'ein Shleimus Acheres Kamoyu Klal, and there is no other perfection like him at all anywhere. There isn't such a thing. And it comes, it results, it emerges. Shekol shleimus shetedume chutz mishleimuso yisborach shmo. Any apparent perfection, other than the perfection of the Ribbono Shel Olam, hinei enenu shleimus amisis, is not true perfection. So anything that you look at and see as perfect, you must know is not perfect. Because by definition, there is only one being that is perfect, and that's the Ribbono Shel Olam. Nothing else can be perfect. Elotikro tikore shleimus be'erech el inyan choser mimenu. It's a relative term. Perfection is a relative term, because objective perfection belongs only to the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's why some young men never get married, because they look for someone perfect and they don't realize only the Ribbono Shel Olam is the only perfect being. Everybody else is under perfect. It's only perfect in relationship to something less perfect. But there is nothing in the world which is absolutely perfect other than the Ribbono Shel Olam. But absolute perfection belongs only to the Ribbono Shel Olam, Yisborach Shmo. Ba'alkein b'hiyos chetzo Yisborach Shmo, and therefore, since it is the will of the Ribbono Shel Olam lehitiv lezulosoi, to give goodness to his to beings other than himself, lo yaspik lo b'hiyosoi meitiv k'tzas toiv. It's inadequate for the Ribbono Shel Olam to give a little of his goodness. He has to give as much goodness as creations are capable of accepting. Otherwise, there's an imperfection in the goodness that he's giving. So now we have a problem. The Ribbono Shel Olam is perfect. Nothing else can be perfect. So whatever the Ribbono Shel Olam makes is going to be imperfect. Now the Ribbono Shel Olam wants to give of his goodness. That means perfect goodness. But we can't take perfect goodness because we're not perfect. Perfect goodness is too powerful for us. It's too strong for us. And since he, the Ribbono Shel Olam, is the only perfect and true good, he will not be satisfied with a quality of goodness, unless he's giving of that same goodness which is his own, the Ribbono Shel Olam will not be satisfied. That's the only true perfect goodness. So the Ribbono Shel Olam finds himself, so to say, in an ironic situation. He needs to give goodness. To be good, he's got to give good. To give good, it's got to be his goodness. His goodness is perfect goodness. Who is he going to give perfect goodness to? To Bria, to the Bria, to the creation. But the creation cannot be perfectly good. If it was perfectly good, it would be God. So he's got to give perfect goodness to something that can't really take perfect goodness. And on the other hand, that goodness which the Ribbono Shel Olam wants to give us can only exist in himself. Okay, and so what's the way out? The only way the Ribbono Shel Olam can give us a taste of perfect goodness is to enable us to attach ourselves to him. Then we can taste that absolute goodness. It can't be in ourselves, he can't give it to us, but he can facilitate our ability to attach ourselves to him and thereby become a part of that goodness in him rather than in us. And this is the yesoda yesodos of all of psychology, of all of halacha, and of all of musar. This is it. This is the whole Torah is over here. It's the most unbelievable. The sefer is concentrated in a most unbelievable way, and in an easy reading sort of way. That's part of the danger of Derech Hashem too. You find people reading it like they have it by their beds and they read it at night. It's so readable, but it isn't really, because one has to stop on every word, and the concepts are difficult. So the problem again is the Ribbono Shel Olam is absolute goodness. If he's absolute goodness, he needs to give of that absolute goodness to others. But we cannot be absolutely good, so he cannot give it to us. We can't take it. So he has created a mechanism whereby we can plug into him. That's really what it is. We can plug into him. And through being attached to the Ribbono Shel Olam, we're able to somehow experience and become part of that which is bigger than us. And that's the whole creativity revolves around this. Involvement in mitzvahs, anova is this is what anova is, plugging into something bigger than us. And through that, finding the greatest expression in that. Gaiva is trying to find the goodness within ourselves. Anova is the understanding that whatever we can find within ourselves must be imperfect, and that the only perfection we can experience is if we plug into the Ribbono Shel Olam. And here we have the system of plugging into the Ribbono Shel Olam. As much as it is possible for us to do, it's available for us. As much as we can, the Ribbono Shel Olam is there for us to plug into. And then it results. That while from themselves it is not possible that they should be described with Hashem's perfection, he named sad his dabkom boy. However, through their cleaving to him, Yagia Lohem Ba'usoi Hashiur She'efsha Litoir Bishlemu Sahi Mitzad Yesum Mizdabkin Boy, we can get to that level that it is possible for us to be described with Shlemus, in as much as we become part of the Ribbono Shel Olam. That becomes our Shlemus. The Yimotsu Nehenim Betoivo Ha'amisi Sahi. And it emerges then that we can benefit from Hashem's perfect goodness, be'erech shef shalom le'nesbo, as much as is possible for us. So without us acquiring that goodness, because we can't acquire it, nevertheless, by attaching ourselves to the Ribbono Shel Olam, we can benefit from it as much as possible. V'nimtzo, and the results, heyos kavanosoi bivrio sheboro, the Ribbono Shel Olam's intention in this creation was livroi, to create, beings capable of benefiting from Hashem's goodness, is Borach Shemoy, using the system and the mechanism through which that is possible, by which that is possible to be achieved. That's the purpose of the Bria, to create beings capable of benefiting from the Ribbono Shel Olam's chesed. That's the Olam. That's the world that we're in. Are there any questions on that before we go into the next paragraph? Yeah. Why that's totally, totally different? That's what he says. That therefore, we cannot have that kind of perfection. Not so obvious, because Shleimus, in Kabbalah, it's very important to know that a concept is the same concept both in the material and the spiritual world. And that's why the same word is used. The Telzer Rav gives the example. You talk about a godel. But if we would just not use Ashkenazi pronunciation, if we would use Sephardi pronunciation, that's a bit better. If we talk about Adam Gadol, what does that mean? It can mean a 6-footer and 250-pounder, or it could mean the Chazon Ish. Why do we use the same word? Because it's the same concept. Greatness in spirituality is exactly what bigness is in materialism. It's the same relationships, and we're talking about relationships. But even those relationships, not because it's physical, but because it's not the Ribbono Shel Olam. Anything which is not the Ribbono Shel Olam is by definition imperfect. If it was perfect, it would be the Ribbono Shel Olam. Yeah, what's the chiddush in that? Yes, we'll come to that. But you're right. Here, there's a relationship, and this whole sefer is the relationship between Ribbono Shel Olam and the world. So sure, he's treating them as two separate things, which is the world created by the Ribbono Shel Olam as a kli kibul, as something capable of receiving goodness. That's what the world is. Now, the most important element in this whole thing is in Perek Beis. Ulam goz in Simen Beis. Ulam goz rochoch moso. However, the Ribbono Shel Olam decreed, he decided, sheliyoyis hatoiv sholim. In order for this goodness to really be complete, roi shiyeh hanehneboy baal hatoiv hahu. You need to own the goodness. It mustn't be a handout. Otherwise, it's not good enough. People don't enjoy things that they don't possess. So now we really have a problem. Now we're saying, on the one hand, we can't get goodness because we're not perfect enough. So we've got to attach ourselves to the Ribbono Shel Olam's goodness, and we can enjoy His goodness. But we don't want handouts. We want it to be our own. So how are we going to resolve this? If it's our own, we've got to be God. And if it's not our own, it's not completely good. It's not even godly. Because what's the essence of the Ribbono Shel Olam's goodness is that He's independent, that He doesn't need anybody else. It's not coming from anybody else. That's the bottom line of it. So how can He give us a taste of godly independence if we're totally dependent on Him? But it has to be that way. Peirush, that means, Mi sheyikne hatoiv ba'atzmoy. That goodness has to be purchased. It has to be acquired. And it cannot be coincidental that he gets it by chance. It has to be something that he's directed himself towards and that he's worked for. And this, you'll see, approaches the concept of comparison, of being like Hashem. As far as is possible to become in what some way associated with the perfection of Hashem Yisborach Shmo. Because Hashem is inherently perfect. And it is not by chance. That is the essence of His being. And by force, He has no imperfections. And this, however, cannot exist in anything other than the Ribbono Shel Olam. It is not possible for a human being to be in a situation where the truth of his existence makes it inevitable that he is perfect and not in any way imperfect. But one needs to at least approach that to get something of that godliness. Otherwise, we're not in the area at all. Shelefachos yehu hakoine ashlemus. If we can't inevitably have it by definition, we at least have to be able to achieve it. She'en amisa sinyon machreches lo. At least that perfection which is not inevitable, we must be able to acquire. Ve'yehu ma'adir me'atzmoi hachisroinus shehayu efshoriim boi. And that way, at least, we must have the power to remove the chisroinus from which we suffer. We can't be born without imperfections. If we were born without imperfections, we would be God. So we have to have imperfections. If we've got imperfections, we can never approach godliness. So the Rebbeinu Shlomo has given us a mechanism to have imperfections, but to remove them, to slowly file them down to the point where those imperfections start disappearing. Valkein gozar v'sider, therefore the Rebbeinu Shlomo decreed sheyibor'u inyonei shleimus v'inyonei chisorim, that there should be in the world powers of perfection and powers of imperfection. The tiborei bri, or concepts of perfection and concepts of imperfection. Before the world was created, there was no such concept. There was just Hashem. If one can talk about a time before the world was created, there was no such thing as perfect and imperfect. There was only Hashem. So the creation of perfection and imperfection is the creation of the world. When the world was created, that's what was created, perfection and imperfection.
He's talking about Jews specifically,
no,
or the whole world?
The whole world.
How do you
want to talk to people? We're still only on the first parak here. There's still a lot to go. So they are in the world, in the world, or with the world was created concepts of perfection and concepts of imperfection. The tibore brio shiti yebo haefshorus lishnei ha'inyonim b'shove. And it had to create a creature equally capable of both extremes. If it's not equal, then it doesn't help. So he has to create a being equally capable of perfection and imperfection. The yutnu libriya imtsoyim, and he has to give that creature means. She'al yodom tikne li'atzmo es ha'shleimus v'tadim imenu es ha'chisroimus, whereby that creature can acquire perfection and remove imperfection. So we can build ourselves up to godliness. If we start off with godliness, we're God. But if we're able to build ourselves up to godliness, that's not God. V'az yikoreshen istameh b'mashio efshalo l'boiro v'tziyiru'i l'idabek bo v'lehena ispituvoi. And then we approach the concept of being to whatever extent is possible, similar to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and fit to cleave to him and to benefit from his goodness. Once we match ourselves up to him, we have to approach godliness as far as we can. It's a bit like calculus. To get there, you can never get there, but we've got to approach there. And the further we bring ourselves to that approaching, the more we're able to draw on the Ribbono Shel Olam. But we've done it ourselves. That's why we're the Baalei Hashleimus. We are masters of our own perfection. Nobody does it for us. It's something that we have to do ourselves. I think to finish the picture, we need to do the third paragraph as well. I want to move through it quite quickly, but otherwise it's a very imperfect picture. V'omnam milvad hegeis habriyo hazoi shekonto hashlemus ruyo lidabik b'vruah yizborach shemoyim mitzad hisdamuso loy. Quite apart from this creature now, who has acquired perfection. So now we've talked about this creature who has an equal tendency to perfection and imperfection. He works on himself and develops shleimus, he develops perfection. He's now fit to cleave to the Ribbono Shel Olam, because he's the same type of being. He ne'al yedei kanuso ha'shleimus lo, nimtzeis mistabekes v'hileches boi. By virtue of acquiring this perfection, he automatically plugs in to the Ribbono Shel Olam and cleaves to him. Ad she'sof kanuso ha'shleimus v'himotzo mistabekes boi yi'akul inyon echod. Until theoretically, the acquisition of perfection and its existence and cleaving to Hashem is one concept. So it's not that you have to first perfect yourself and then you're perfect, you can start cleaving to Hashem. It's the same as you perfect yourself, automatically there's more and more of an attachment to the Ribbono Shel Olam. With each imperfection that is removed, there's simultaneously an attachment to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And he explains that concept. Since Hashem is the absolute perfection, anything else which has perfection relates to Hashem like a branch relates to the root. A very important image which is used throughout the Sefer. He's laying down language here, because later on, when he talks about the different mitzvahs and how human beings relate to the Ribbono Shel Olam, to one another, and what Yisrael are and what the Goyim are and how they interrelate to one another, all these images are used because we're trying to use language to connotate very abstract concepts. So he's had the concept of Baal HaShlemus, that we have to possess our own goodness, and now he talks about the Shoresh and the Anaf, that our relationship to the Ribbono Shel Olam is like a branch is to the root, that we're drawing on it. It's not a static relationship, it's a dynamic relationship. There's movement of energy from one to the other all the time. Even though the branch can never get to the concentrated perfection of the root, it is a projection of that same creation. In other words, it's not that we're a different thing altogether. The root is there and the branch is there, and the branch might be very far from the root, and the branch might look different from the root and not be as concentrated as the root, but the substance of the branch is after all produced by the root, and it's the same substance which has traveled through the tree. And you will see therefore that perfect or true perfection is Hashem's existence. And what then is lack of perfection? If perfection is Hashem, what is, now Hashem had to create lack of perfection, what is lack of perfection? Where there's a removal of Hashem, there you've got imperfection. Because for Hashem, read perfection. That's his defining the Ribbono Shel Olam as far as we're able to define him. Hashem is perfection. And therefore any imperfection means an absence of Hashem. And if we can introduce the Ribbono Shel Olam, there's more perfection. Where we make more perfection, there's more God. That's why the two go so hand in hand. It's not that when you perfect yourself, you can attach yourself to God. By perfecting yourself, you are automatically increasing the level of godliness and decreasing the level of godlessness. And that's the whole Avodah Hashem. Paul. That comes later on. Comes later on. We're coming to that later on. V'nimtza sheha'oros ponov yizborach shumo, and it comes out that Hashem's, now he uses a phrase, he'oros ponov, the lighting of Hashem's face, which means, and again, it's a phrase which is going to come right through the Sefer, it means the appearance of Hashem's energy. The appearance of Hashem's energy. The face is lit up. You're aware of Hashem's presence. So the degree of Ha'oros Ponim, the degree of Hashem's, the appearance of Hashem's energy, Vekir Vosoi, and his closeness, Tihiyeno HaShoyresh VaHasibo L'chol Shleimu Shetiyye, is the root and the cause of any subsequent perfection. So that's perfection. There's no other form of perfection. That is perfection. Perfection is through increased godliness. Imperfection is through decreased godliness. And what is Avodah Zorah? The attempt to find perfection without the Ribbono Shel Olam. Perfection in form. That was the whole Greek philosophy. That's why there's always been this conflict between the Greeks and the Yidden. And yet there's been a respect for one another. Why is that? The Greeks and the Jews always had a very interesting relationship. A Sefer Torah written in Greek can be a kosher Sefer Torah. Only language. Where does it come from? Where does this tremendous, the Greek philosophy, tremendous respect for Greek philosophy, the way the Rambam speaks of Aristotle, tremendous respect for Greek. Both understand the concept of perfection. Two cultures that both understand perfection, the only two cultures. All other cultures work on imperfection. The Eastern religions and everything, they all work on imperfections. Christianity on imperfections. The Greeks and the Jews were the only ones who emphasized perfection. The Greeks in materialism, in matter, and the Jews in spirit. That's why the Olympic Games, what is the Olympic Games? What's all that sport? What's that obsession with sport? To try and reach the maximum perfection. You know, to go further and further in breaking records and in improving and improving. This concept of working on oneself. The Greeks had it, except they worked on the body. No other society had that except apart from us. The importance of working on oneself till the point of perfection. But this definition is what, where they go wrong. Perfection by definition is heoros ponov. Lack of heoros ponim, imperfection. There is no other perfection. That's all it is. The hester ponov and the removal of Hashem's face, hashoresh v'asibo l'chol chisorin, is the root and cause. These two words, root and cause, are important. Next week in the Tzashem I'll spend a bit more time on them. They're two different things. What's the difference between a root and a cause? A cause is a one-off event. Okay, you hit something and that causes a chain event, then other things happen. But the causes cease to happen. A root is an ongoing, feeds, it's dynamic, it's ongoing, all the time it's feeding. And this is shoresh and sibol, l'chol chisorin, for every inadequacy. Asher kashir ha-hester, kach yiyye shir ha-chisorin ha-nimshach mimenu. The degree of removal of Hashem's appearance determines the degree of chisorin that results from it. V'alkein ha-nivro hazeh, and therefore this creature, that's us, Ha'oimed b'shikul bein ha-shleimus v'ha-chisroinus, who stands at the midweight, he's absolutely equally weighted towards perfection and imperfection, shehim toldos he'oro v'ha-hester, which don't forget are consequences of the Ribbono Shel'olam's appearance and unappearance, v'hischazkoi b'shleimus v'hiknoison oison v'atzmoi, as he strengthens himself in the world of perfection, and acquires more of it within himself, he is attaching himself to the Ribbono Shel Olam, which is the root of them. And the more he excels in perfection, so the more he is cleaving, he's holding on to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Ad shebahagioi el tachlis knias hashlemus, to the point where he gets to the absolute level of perfection, he gets to the absolute level of cleaving to Hashem, and he finds himself attached to Hashem, benefiting from his goodness, and finding perfection in him. So here this tzaddik now finds himself, this is after death already, finds himself totally stripped of all imperfections, attached to the Ribbono Shel Olam to the maximum level possible. So he's benefiting from the Ribbono Shel Olam. So where's the independence? I did it. I got myself to that level. If it had not been for my efforts, I couldn't have been there. So every aspect, again, it's not I do the shleimus and then I get the reward is attachment. The acquisition of shleimus is in itself the process of attachment. Again, this is all the first perek or two. Is all a little bit abstract, but it becomes these principles are then used in the more practical analyses that the rest of the sefer is occupied with, and the women handled it very well. So I think the men shouldn't have a problem. Paul? He does say, because otherwise you're not. It's not godly if you're not master of your own good. It's not godly. It's a handout. Then we would have been God. If they would have made us that, we could take handouts. That's not perfect. That's not absolute goodness. To give handouts is not being good to another person. Despite what Mr. Mandela might say this afternoon. To give a handout is not being good. That's not good. That's charitable. No, that's the chiddush. That's not. That toiv is an absolute concept. Goodness is an absolute concept, and part of goodness is independence. And if you're not independent in your receiving of the goodness, there's an imperfection in the goodness. And that's an absolute concept. That's why we created that way, not the other way around. Since absolute goodness requires independence, we have been created in such a way that we don't like dependence. That we like to be independent, some of us.